Hello and welcome to what is now Season 5 of Pebble in the Pond podcast. My name is Sam Stewart and I am the CEO of the Australian and New Zealand Mental Health Association. Each year, ANZMHA hosts several leading mental health conferences which give us the opportunity to connect with incredible industry leaders, lived experience speakers, researchers, academics and frontline workers as they share fascinating stories and projects which are changing the face of mental health within our community. Listen in as we go one-on-one with these inspiring people and dive deep into their work. It is truly a privilege to bring you their stories. Our podcast episodes may contain content which could be triggering for some people. If you need support, please contact Lifeline on 131114 or visit the Get Help page on anzmh.asn.au. Join us for Pebble in the Pond each Tuesday and let's get into Season 5. Gus Wallen is a radio presenter and TV personality. During an episode on his breakfast radio show, Gus shared a story about a close friend and mentor who took his own life. This opened up the calls from listeners who called in to share their own stories. The journey which Gus started led to him hosting a three-part mental health documentary series, Man Up and Now Gotcha for Life, a charity working to prevent suicide and break the stigma around mental health issues. In today's episode, we talk about Gus's personal experience, how he's passionate about encouraging mental fitness, and the fundraising efforts which drive him. Welcome, Gus.
Welcome to another episode of Pebble in the Pond. I'm your host, Talitha Natt. And this morning, we are coming to you live from the International Mental Health Conference here at the Gold Coast. This morning, I have the pleasure of speaking with Gus Wallen. Gus, how are you this morning?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
You're so welcome. It's a pleasure to have you here. Tell our listeners a bit about yourself, Gus.
Yeah, well, I've got a few different caps at the moment. I'm here because I'm the founder of Gotcha for Life, which is a suicide prevention mental fitness foundation, which I started 6 years ago off the back of a TV show I did on the ABC called Man Up, which was all about challenging masculinity and why we lose so many blokes every year to suicide. The reason why I got so sort of passionate in this space because I lost a mate of mine, a father figure who I absolutely loved. And for many, many years, I did nothing except sort of shout at the sky some days and get drunk on his anniversary. And then eventually one day on breakfast radio on Triple M, I was sort of vulnerable and said, this is how I feel. And so many people phoned up and said that it's like I'd given them permission to actually talk about the stuff that was buried in their tummy or that was banging around in their head and they didn't quite know how to talk about.
Yeah.
So it just got me thinking, I wonder how many people do worry alone. And I wonder if we could give them some emotional muscle and get them mentally fit. Just like we talk about physical fitness, let's talk about getting our minds, you know, mentally fit. So I've been doing that for the last 6 years or so. I've fundraised just over $13 million so far and given that back to anyone that works in suicide prevention. So that's my passion piece. I'm still on the radio at Triple M doing the drive show, which I'll do this afternoon, but that's just a bit of fun and pays the bills. This is the important stuff.
That's fantastic. Can I ask you a question around, you mentioned that you opened up on your radio show and that in turn opened up the gates for people to connect with you.
Mm.
Do you remember or are you comfortable kind of rehashing what you spoke about in that moment?
Yeah, sure. I basically every morning, if anyone listening or anyone knows sort of putting together a radio show, you normally have nothing on a bit of paper until about 90 minutes out because you want to be as fresh as possible. So 4:30 in the morning, sitting around with my producers and co-hosts, and I said, we're not just going to give away concert tickets and movie tickets and play lots of AC/DC today. We're going to actually have a bit of a more of a, you know, a less blokey chat, I suppose, less banter chat. And I want to talk about my friend who took his own life and how it's affected me and how I've not really managed it very well. And a couple of blokes that I was on, Matty Johns and Mark Guy, who are both rugby league, State of Origin, New South Wales players, very blokey, buffy guys who would normally take the mickey out of me when it comes to that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They said to me that they would support me and give me the time and the space to be able to talk about it. So we said, okay, if we're going to do it, let's do it in Hollywood Hour, which is sort of just after the 8 o'clock news on breakfast radio. And we flicked on the microphone and I just poured my heart out, really. Mm-hmm. I spoke about my friend who had come into my life. My dad had left quite early and I was looking for role models who were older than me. He was about 15 years older than me. He was my cousin's boyfriend, then my cousin's husband. He was a PE teacher at the time and I then went and did my year 10 work experience with him. Then he changed career and then I went and worked for him, putting on my big boy pants. So for about 8 years as well in various different countries. So this guy was not just a go-to guy for me business-wise, but he was a go-to guy for me personally, you know, girl stuff when I was nervous as a teenager trying to work that all out. He was the guy that went, this is what I would suggest to you. He never gave me a bum steer. He always gave me good advice, not always, you know, arm around. Plenty of times, just come on, mate, lift your game and little clip around the head, which you could do back in the day. So this guy was hugely, you know, important for me. And I was working for him over in the UK and I got a phone call saying that he had died. And then about 30 seconds later, I got the phone call saying that not only he had died, he'd actually taken his own life. So that was that moment where it's just disbelief. And then you fly home to Australia and you go to his work and you're trying to find notes because there was no note with him. And I just saw a big circle around a date, which said that, which to me was the date that he took his own life, which was to me, well, I've just got to get to this date. All three kids would have been educated. He took his own life when Henry finished his exams and he was out. And so many people at his funeral, you know, and talking to them and asking them, did you pick up any signs? Did you know anything? And they were just like, no. He wore that mask so tight. The guy that seemed to have all the answers for everyone else couldn't reach out and ask for help himself. So as I said, I told that story and producers came in and said, look, we've got a full board of calls. And at Triple M in Sydney, we've got 32 lines available for people to phone in, normally for competitions. And all those lines were flashing.
Wow.
And we just took one call after another. We played no music, no traffic reports, no news reports for an hour and a half. Went half an hour over the scheduled finishing time of the show. And we just took one call after another. And those calls were difficult. There was lots of pauses, lots of moments where you felt people were just gathering them, their thoughts and getting the emotional muscle just to get the words out of their throat. Lots of tears running down the eyes. You could just sense it, you know, and then you get the sniffle and people just trying to gather themselves. And that particular morning changed my life really because it got me thinking that people are worrying alone way too much. And if that's the case, just in that small group of people that listen to our show, well, imagine what's happening around Australia, what's happening in the world. So I went on this journey, did the Man Up program, and now Gotcha for Life, as I said, and did a TED talk in Vancouver a couple of weeks ago, which really gave me a lot of confidence actually, because what I talk about is just authentic and real and passionate and from my heart. It's how I feel and how a lot of people tell me that they feel when I talk to them. And I think we need to have more of those conversations. We need to take the white coat off. We need to take the wellness coat off. And we need to just talk about being mentally fit and being human and allowing ourselves to go through the ups and downs that life throws at you and build up some resistance, build up some emotional muscle to get through it.
While you've been speaking, I've been obviously listening to your every word and I keep getting this phrase into my mind, which is turning your pain into your power. And I don't know where this is coming from, but I kept thinking of it when I was just looking at you and listening to you. So do you feel as though that would be relevant to your situation with what you've done with Man Up and with your Gotcha for Life charity? Would that be of relevance to you?
I've never thought of it that way, but as soon as you said it, that seemed to resonate with me. I certainly didn't think so with the Man Up because I think that was just all a bit raw and I was getting so much information as I went on this journey that I never quite understood it. But I think the Gotcha for Life work certainly is, and I wouldn't have started Gotcha for Life without Man Up. So I suppose you bundle it all in together. But sometimes it doesn't feel like a superpower or powerful because it's so emotional, the work, and it's just tiring and you just go, oh, you know. But I actually spoke to an old friend of ours that used to be employed by my mate and she said he'd be so proud of you. So when you have people that understand the journey and know why I started it and so forth, they're those moments where you go, okay, well, that's good, because unfortunately I can't talk to him about it. I'd love to replay everything and go back and, you know, say to him, are you okay? And he probably would have said, nah, I'm fine. And then I would have had to ask the second the third and the fourth questions, which is what I'm learning now from the work I do, mm-hmm. that blokes in particular, we can't just cop that first answer that they give us, which is, oh yeah, I'm sweet, mate. How are you going? Because we just deflect so quickly.
Yes.
And we never get to the conversations that we really need to get to. We're way too caught up in banter mm-hmm. and not enough in the really important stuff. And as I've said to many people, you don't burst into tears every 5 minutes or have a deep and meaningful conversation every time you talk. But gee, it'd be nice to have that skill set in your back pocket to be able to go there with the people that you love. And that's really what got you for life and what I'm trying to preach. And of course, Aussie men don't like people preaching to them either. So you've just got to balance it up and just hopefully give them the information that eventually they realize that they need. And then we can start having some really good conversations amongst our mates, not just talk footy.
Yeah, absolutely. So what kind of journey would an individual or a community or an organization embark upon when they work with you at Gotcha for Life? Because obviously it's a really long process to try and unravel all of the teachings that men or whoever have in today's society about keeping things close to their chest and not being open and honest with how they are feeling. So what do you teach initially to be able to start to unravel or detangle what is trapping people?
Yes. So from my point of view, it's slowly but surely, steady she goes, because you don't want to go in there all guns blazing because it'll just turn everyone off.
Mm.
So I just leave people with one simple takeaway, and that's what I'll be talking about when I do the keynote to finish today at the conference, is if I can just give you one takeaway that you put into your world as of like now, then I promise you it'll make a significant difference to your life. And I think most blokes in particular will cop that. If you start saying, right, here's the book to read and here's the podcast and start meditating and all that, all stuff that would definitely help them. I get that. And I resisted for years on the meditation thing, and now I'm there and I go, why did I take so long to get here? But it took me years, and I'm living in this space. So I don't expect people that don't live in this space to go, oh yeah, let me just start meditating. I'll just chuck that into my day to start the day for 20 minutes.
Mm.
So I just leave people with one simple thing, which is, let's call it mental fitness, not mental health, because that gives you something positive to work towards.
Mm.
So that's the first thing. And your first exercise to get mentally fit is to connect with someone that you love. So send them a text message. Don't have that conversation face-to-face, because it's hard. Yeah. That's for Hollywood. That's for TV and movies and so forth. And you need to be super, super, super mentally fit to have those conversations. So simply send a text message to someone that you love to say, I'm thinking of you, I love you, see you soon, kiss, hug, kiss, hug. As simple as that. Now, for some people, that's just way too much as well. When I'd ask everyone to do that in the chat this afternoon, people will start giggling and laughing. And that's the point where I sort of stop telling my story, which is emotional, and start saying, hey, here's something positive that we can do. And it changes the whole feeling within the room. Hopefully they feel safe enough to go, you know what? I'm going to send that text to someone. And then you wait for the responses to come back. You get, are you drunk? Was that text message for me? What have you done with my husband? Like all these different funny things come in, because Aussies can't possibly cope with that emotion without having a bit of a laugh and so forth. So for me, it is a long journey to untangle all that stuff. But if we just let them know how easy it is to use technology, that's one thing that has not let us down over the last few years with COVID.
Yep.
We've still been able to stay in contact with it. So just do that and see what response you get from someone. Even if they take the mickey and write back, say, you know, what are you talking about? We don't talk this way to each other. Well, it's a starting point to go, well, I was asked to send a text to someone I love and I thought of you. All of a sudden, that's a different conversation to the one that we normally have, especially if it's a bloke to a bloke. If I ask them to send that text, a bloke sends it to a bloke. If there's enough of them, there'll be a phone call or two within about 40 seconds going, what's going on? Are you okay? Like, people get worried because this is a weird conversation compared to what we normally do. Again, that shows that we perhaps should be having those conversations a bit more often.
Absolutely. And it's such a big conversation piece, isn't it? And a simple one at that, if you draw it all back to what it's about, which is connection and connecting with others. With regards to the stigma around mental health, firstly, and also, I guess, the stigma, if you will, around men not feeling safe enough or emotionally open enough to be able to have authentic conversations with how they are truly feeling.
Mm.
How do we tackle that? Because that's the elephant in the room, really, isn't it?
It really, really is. My father, 83, 84, he's never had those conversations. I'm 54 and people are just like, well, we're slightly better than our dads. Well, my son, who's 23, he's better again in terms of the stuff that he does with his mates. Not a handshake to be seen anymore amongst the youngsters. It's all hugs and
amazing,
that sort of stuff. So we are getting there slowly but surely, but this is something that we can't rush. That's why we have to slowly but surely do it, which is what I talk about, that connection piece. It then becomes natural for you to go, yeah, I will look after my mate a bit more than just say to him, how you going, which is what we do. And like I say, you don't have to have that with every person that you talk to, but find someone who's got you for life, which is why I called the foundation Got You for Life, because I want everyone to find that one person who has got you for life. But in answering your question, the stigma is we have to unlearn that.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. And then learn these new sets of skills, which is why it's going to be such a long journey to be able to do that. So that's why little pieces will make it work, I think, in the end. And the younger generations are already way ahead of us. So I have got hope, and you need hope when you're talking of these type of discussions, that we will get there in the end.
I was just thinking as you were talking again about when you mentioned that your son is better than you and you're slightly better than your dad. Wouldn't it be great if we had the opportunity as a society to put that jigsaw puzzle together and have the youth who are doing better than the generations before us and share the learnings about what they're doing differently and how it's affecting and impacting them? And maybe those stories and those tools and just a simple, you know, the simple hugs that they're now giving and receiving or the conversations they're having. Your father likely would never have experienced any of that.
Mm.
And so it's, I guess in my mind, when I'm listening to you speak, it's like, God, it could be as simple as gathering the troops per se and having everyone in the room, the younger generations, the older generation, and seeing that change, which is obviously happening very slowly, but
yeah,
it's happening.
It is. We have father and son nights at schools, and the most beautiful nights, where the dad walks in and you can sort of feel like he's been told to be there, or he feels like he should be there because he loves his son and so forth. But there's, you know, there's phones, there's the taking the last call before they go in and the door's shut. There's people texting and all that sort of jazz. Hour and a half later, and that's 90 minutes, it's not that long, you find that men are hugging, men are sitting closer to each other, they're eyeball to eyeball having conversations, there's difficult conversations going on. So all that happens in about 90 minutes, and that's with dad and son and sometimes multiple younger kids. I've always said that we will learn more from the youngsters than we will. So this is one of those where granddad will learn from grandson, where there'll be lots of other stuff that granddad might be able to give to grandson. But this is one where we go, I'm not knocking you, granddad, because you lived in the world that you lived in. Yeah. It's a very different world to the one I'm living in. But just let me tell you, this world that I'm living in now, this is what I've learned from, and I want to let you know that. Mm. So you just got to make sure that you respect the elders, but also that for them to take away their ego and go, I'm going to listen to my grandson here. Because if you're parenting people in the world, if you're a granddad or a dad of my age, 54 or 64, 74, 84, if you're that age group and you're parenting someone as if it was when we were kids, then that world is not no longer available. It's such a different place. Just simply, you know, I'm patting my mobile phone at the moment. I've got an extra battery on it. It's only 11:30 in the morning. So I've already needed to put an extra battery on. I've been on the go since 5 o'clock. I've done two other conversations. I've flown up here and so forth. This is just a different world to the world that, you know, our mums and dads ever had to deal with. And then of course, my kids have never been more connected, but less connected in terms of like eyeball to eyeball stuff. So there's a whole lot of difference going on, and we need to sit down and listen to each other, get our ears on and learn from each other.
So tell me about what else you teach within Gotcha for Life. So you've got the mental fitness component. What other areas do you focus on with individuals and?
Yeah, so that's the mental fitness programs that we have. We have many different modules. They go for, let's say if you sat down and did them all over a period of time, it would take you a year or so, but most people don't have that time. So they do it in bits and bobs. They do a module every 3 months or so. We've got program partners that we support who basically put you through those modules. They put you through mental health first aid, accidental counselor, all the different type of courses that you can do as well. which can take up to hours or weekends of work. And we're just about to build a primary school product as well, because when we first came into it, I was just thinking men. And then I realized it's a human issue. Then I realized it's not just men, it's boys. And then I realized, well, it's not just teenage boys, it's actual boys. And then I realized actually all primary school kids. So I'm learning as I go all the time. And really smarter people than me are then saying to me, well, can I have some money? Because I want to put this together. We then look at it all and go, okay, yep, we will support that group. So we just gave some money to these wonderful primary school teachers who live there every day and want to do this type of work. So that's what they're doing for us. So that's what Gotcha for Life can do, is bring all that money in. As long as you are working in suicide prevention, mm-hmm. there's way too much money on crisis, way too much focus on crisis. Let's start talking about prevention.
That's so amazing. I'm so pleased to hear that you're having a great success in that space, because obviously it's incredibly needed.
Yes. Well, the stats are the stats, aren't they?
You
know,
they are.
9 Aussies every day.
Yeah.
65,000 attempt a year. So it's one every few minutes. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not sure if there's a more important conversation to be had.
Yep.
And we're not having that conversation enough at the prevention point. We're too much on the crisis. Not that the crisis doesn't deserve everything that they get and the work that they do. Amazing. But I did some work with Lifeline not so long ago at one of their functions, and I said, I want all of you unemployed in the next 5 years, you know, and they all cheered because, you know, we don't want those phones ringing. But
yeah.
if you go into any Lifeline centre at the moment, those phones, like, they're getting up to a couple of thousand calls a night, you know, and they pick the phone up and it rings, they put the phone down, it's ringing off the hook. So they need all the support and stuff that they get. But if we perhaps focused a bit more on prevention, then I think eventually those calls will slow down. And that's what we should be thinking of.
Couldn't agree more. For our listeners who won't be able to attend your keynote presentation this afternoon, is there anything that you would like to share in terms of tips or conversation starters that you'll be touching on?
Yeah, like the TED Talks that I did in Vancouver a couple of weeks ago, if they just put Gus TED 2023 in, that'll pop up. It's 11 minutes. So it's not going to take too much of your time. And it's basically me telling my story and then giving some really simple takeaways that I think that people can put into their life. So that would be the easiest thing to do. That TED have got a YouTube channel, they've got a podcast series, they've got their actual own channel as well. So if you just put Gus TED 2023, then you'll probably get me in a nutshell.
It's amazing. You've been an absolute pleasure to speak with this afternoon. Thank you so much for your time, Gus, and all the best with your endeavors with Gotcha for Life.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Feel free to share with your friends and colleagues. And if you know someone working in mental health that you'd like to see featured on the podcast, please email any suggestions to us at membership@anzmh.asn.au. You can also stay up to date on our socials at ANZMHA on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to sharing our next episode with you next week.